Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Over a bill to expand access to abortion. It's called the Roe Act and would allow abortions after 24 weeks in certain situations. Protesters say it goes too far.
But I think it's a bill that is really, really dangerous to not only unborn, but also to women and children everywhere.
This is infanticide.
And that is part of a news report from WHGH-TV, stationed out of Boston, Channel 7 there, covering the big protest that took place in Massachusetts regarding this Roe Act, which is, again, another attempt to expand so-called abortion, or as the left calls it, the abortion supporters call it so-called reproductive rights. And we're going to be checking in with our dear friend and sister, Cindy Dorsey, who's the general manager of Emmanuel Radio. She called me last night. We were chatting, and she was talking about the huge turnout of pro-life efforts yesterday. She was there. She was working with the pro-life leaders. And after a quick version of the news this morning, we'll have a live news update from Cindy, who will be calling in and letting us know what you can do if you're in that part of the country to make a difference. So that's coming up this morning. As Betty Davis said, I forget which movie it was, but buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be an interesting ride. We've got so much to talk about this morning. After the break, we are going to chat with the one, the only, Father Leo is in the house. Father Leo Padalinghung. He has a new book out on saving the family, which ties directly into the topic of life. And then we are going to go to the Scranton, Pennsylvania Diocese and talk with artist Jill Metz. And she is going to be helping us understand the connection between faith and art. She's speaking this weekend at the Catholic Women's Conference in northeastern Pennsylvania, and a special painting of hers of a particular saint, a saint that's not too familiar to too many people, is going to be blessed and unveiled. So that's pretty exciting. But most importantly, we want to talk to her about this connection between beauty and art and faith. And for me, this is really important. First of all, I can barely draw stick figures. So when I see faith and beauty expressed through art, it's extremely moving, but it's moving, period, but especially when you appreciate the talent and the gifts of the artist. And that's one of the reasons why I encourage pilgrimage so much, because when you encounter beauty, you encounter God. Whether you're looking at the ocean, whether you're looking at the Sistine Chapel or the Pietà or the David, or an image in your local cathedral or basilica, when you encounter beauty, you encounter God. And we're hoping women will really encounter Christ this weekend. The theme is meeting Jesus at the well. So we'll talk about that. It's going to be a busy morning, but a lot to talk about. We have an hour, so we're going to try to cram as much in as possible, as we do on Morning Glory. As a matter of fact, it was so fun. I guest hosted with Deacon Harold and Gloria Purvis this morning. That was a hoot and a half. And we were teasing Gloria, and I were teasing Deacon Harold and saying, are you okay with all these women on the air? And he said, hey, I'm married and I have three daughters. Need I say more? Nope, I think that pretty much sums it up. So he did a great job, as always. Love those two. They're so much fun and they're so knowledgeable. And by the way, Gloria and I are going to be speaking at the Wine Conference, Women in the New Evangelization. She and I will be speaking for their beautiful event coming up in Baton Rouge. That is at the end of July. And by the way, there's still a few seats left, but it's almost sold out. So if you snooze, you lose, ladies. Get on board if you're in that area or nearby New Orleans, and check it out, catholicvineyard.com. Alrighty then, let's get rocking, because we have so much to talk about and so little time on a Tuesday, June 18th. Let's see what's happening in and around the world this morning. The Supreme Court is saying defendants can be charged in federal and state courts for the same crimes. Justice is ruling against an Alabama man who claimed he could not be charged again due to the constitutional protections against double jeopardy. Legal analyst Danny Savalos explains why the Supreme Court ruled this way.
The federal government doesn't have to listen to anything the states say. And often the federal government prosecutes in a situation that protects different interests than the state is trying to protect. So all the Supreme Court did was uphold a longstanding rule.
In a concurring opinion in the Supreme Court case announced yesterday, Justice Thomas issuing a lengthy call for his colleagues to overturn demonstrably erroneous decisions, even if they have been upheld for decades, prompting legal observers to say Thomas was laying the groundwork to overturn the decision of Roe v. Wade back in 1973, which established abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. And Forbes magazine accusing the Vatican of rejecting transgender people by publishing a document reaffirming its teaching that God creates human beings as male and female. In the article entitled "The First Sunday Since the Vatican Rejected Transgender People," the writer said that the LGBT community considers it no accident that the Vatican released this document during Pride Month. The church, by sharing this teaching, the author said, during Pride Month appeared to be reinforcing the compassion that Pope Francis drew, or the comparison that Pope Francis drew in 2015, that the modern concept of gender is dangerous. In its 30-page document titled Male and Female, He Created Them, the Vatican's Congregation for Catholic Education has denounced gender theory for attempting to separate a person's gender from their biological sex, leading to a utopia of the neuter. Now, here's the deal. Nobody's rejecting anyone. And I just have to say this. Normally, I don't comment on stories during the news, but this is extremely important. This is one of the subjects we talked about this morning on Morning Glory. We need to read the Catechism. The Church always loves the person. And the Church loves the person so much that she upholds the truth of how that person was made in the image and likeness of God. When we are rejecting the act or something a person does is not a rejection of the person. When you discipline your children, for example, are you rejecting your children? Or are you loving them more because you know what they're doing may be harmful? We need to always clarify and go back and discern when we see these things, because it's happening all over the place more and more. Okay. Another American tourist is dead after vacationing in the Dominican Republic. A 55-year-old New Jersey man found dead in his room Thursday at the Terra Linda Resort in the northern part of the Caribbean country. The man's brother, Jason Allen, says a family called after not hearing from him.
The maid opens the door, screams, slams the door. My brother is on the floor, dead between his room and the bathroom.
The man is the ninth American tourist to mysteriously and suddenly pass away while visiting the country. The string of deaths stretching back months, and the deaths aren't isolated to one area. Toxicology results for several of the tourists are still pending. And more U.S. troops are heading to the Middle East amid rising tensions with Iran. The acting U.S. Defense Secretary announcing that 1,000 American soldiers will guard against possible Iranian threats in the region. The U.S. is blaming Iran for recent attacks on tankers in the Gulf of Oman. And finally, in our news segment, before we bring on Cindy Dorsey from Emmanuel Radio at about 8 minutes past the hour, Rory O'Neill reports, braving temperatures in the 90s and scattered downpours, crowds were already lining up outside Orlando's Amway Center some 24 hours before President Trump officially launches his reelection campaign.
In a tweet, the president said more than 100,000 people asked for tickets, but the arena holds under 20,000, and it's first come, first serve. Gary is first. He drove more than 8 hours, only to wait another 36 hours before the rally.
All these people came here to support our nation. They realize how important this election is.
Counter protests are being planned too. Orlando police bracing for huge crowds and the potential for gridlock. Daily summer thunderstorms could only complicate matters.
And as we mentioned, it is about 8 minutes past the hour. We'll open up the phone lines, 877-573-7825. So appreciate the great work of our wonderful affiliate in Worcester, Massachusetts. I've been there many times to visit with that wonderful radio family. On the phone with us is Cindy Dorsey, who is the general manager there. And Cindy called me yesterday from all the excitement. Wow. Following up on some of the links that you sent me and looking at your Facebook page. So how goes the battle this morning? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's good to hear your voice, Teresa. It was quite a day for life yesterday in Boston, Massachusetts, because we have before us right now legislation that they call it the Roe Act. And the Roe Act, if it becomes law, is going to be the most extreme act, much like New York, but even further, to be able to give young children the opportunity to kill babies without parents' knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's going to allow late-term abortions. It's going to allow babies who do survive late-term abortion attempts to be left to die. And that you wouldn't have to go to a hospital to even get the abortion. So yesterday, about 1,000 pro-lifers came to the State House and everybody was wearing red, and of course the other side was pink, and for abortion, and they filled the room. It was overflow into other rooms in the state house for listening, and it went into the evening last night as everybody clashed on this issue.
So what's the latest and what happens now? What's the next step?
Well, the point right now is that it is. Yesterday it was before the Judiciary Committee, and the goal is to get it out of committee, to either kill the bill or to, if it does go to Governor Baker's desk, to be able to have it be defeated. One of the things that we're looking at right now is Governor Baker, Charlie Baker, who is Republican designation, has said, you know, to this point, I'm good with the rules the way they are, the state laws the way they are. But last night he just creaked that door open a little bit to say, you know, I'll look at it, but I'm concerned about, you know, having a parental notification requirement. And he said that currently exists in the state law. So, you know, but he's leaving the door open for this fight to continue.
What are they thinking, these states who are trying to enact these laws, removing parental consent? I mean, your parents would have a fit if an aspirin was given or a Tylenol was given to their child in school without their consent.
And you know, you're abortion. So right on the money that that was what was stated in testimony yesterday. But they're talking about, as far as they're concerned, they're talking about, there was a doctor, Dr. Lou Ireland, who's an OBGYN at UMass Memorial Hospital, who said that these children come into them as patients, and they have the right to come in as patients. They have the right to determine pregnancy, to, you know, to get contraception, to do all these things. The only thing they can't do is make their own decision about abortion, which this Dr. Ireland wants them to be able to do within legal limits without their parents knowing. Of course, on the Mass Citizens for Life side and on the pro-life side, we're saying, you know, that's absolutely crazy, because, you know, children aren't even able at that point to make a decision, and you can't take parents out of the picture. But the pro-choice people believe this is a matter of a right, that they have a right to do everything else. Now they should have a right to do this. And they did say a lot of times, we've been a leader in the state of Massachusetts on so many issues, including gay rights, transgender rights and whatnot, that they want this bill to speak as being another leader in the way of additional rights.
Oh, that's great. This is another form of child abuse, not only for the baby in the womb, but for children. If you're talking teenagers, Cindy, you're talking young women as young as 13 years old. 13.
Well, you know, they say currently Massachusetts state law says that, you know, under 18 years of age you need to have consent, but this law would just remove that from the state law. And what that means is 10, 11, 12, however early you start, you know, you wouldn't have to tell anybody. And this creates so many problems. But the pro-choice people are saying they can't afford, you have to do this because they can't afford to go out of state to do it out of state if we don't pass this law. And they don't have the money to be able, if they're underage and don't want to tell their parents, it's law in Massachusetts, you need to go before a judge. And they don't have the money to hire a lawyer and get out of school and go to see a judge. And so between the financial aspect, they're saying, of it, especially for low-income women, and the having to travel out of state if you can't do it here, those are the two big things they're saying are why we need to be able to have this law passed. And it's, you know, money and it's, you know, opportunity. But let's not stop there. You know, this is not about that. You know, this is about killing babies after 24 weeks. And this is about letting a baby die if it's born unsuccessfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I do want to say to you, one of the things that was most disheartening yesterday is to, on the side for this law was a group called Catholics for Choice.
Oh, please.
And Catholics for Choice, yes, wants to be, they believe that in Catholic tradition that supports a woman's moral and legal right to follow her own conscience in matters of sexuality and reproductive health.
Well, then you're not Catholic. You're not a Christian, because your conscience is supposed to be formed by Scripture and, as we know, the Holy Spirit and the authoritative teachings of the Church. It's a direct quote from the Catechism. So that's nonsense.
And we repeatedly yeah. heard that yesterday. I'm Catholic and I'm pro-choice. Well, you can't be both.
You can't
but
be
I will
both.
Tell you, T, there was a Franciscan friar, a Roman Catholic priest, who did testify. And he said, you know...
I saw the images on Facebook. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And what I love about it is he said, animals reproduce, human beings procreate. And we need to look at, you know, who's involved in the decision besides the mother and father. And that's another father who's involved in all of
Amen.
This.
Amen. Yeah. But see, this boils down to two things, money and total, what people want as total so-called control.
Right.
This is the bottom line is more customer based because Planned Parenthood and the other abortion providers are getting really paranoid. I think the bright spot in this, and I just did an interview with Father Frank Pavone, who is very up on all of this that's happening, and he was telling me that the bright spot in this, and as you and I were talking yesterday, Cindy, last night, that they are scared. And there's quotes in the articles that you sent me of the other side being afraid.
Absolutely. And during testimony yesterday, it was said out loud. You know, hey, look at Roe is there's things happening in different states in the country. And, you know, these people here are trying to overturn Roe versus Wade. And we can't let that happen. It's happening on a national basis. So we have to stop that. We have to be a leader here in Massachusetts to protect Roe. That's what they want to do, just protect Roe.
Yeah. Well, what they're protecting is murder for the baby and a life of just all kinds of problems for the woman and those associated with this abortion, any abortion decision. So what can your listeners and those listening in that part of the country do?
Well, here's what I ask everybody to do. Emmanuel Catholic Radio, we have three Catholic radio stations. We're working with others in the state. We started last night a Pray the Rosary. And the rosary is R-O-E-S-A-R-Y. It's called the Roe Act. So I started Pray the Rosary, and we're asking people to go to 1230radio.com to sign up for an hour that they can pray the rosary, or to call us at Emmanuel Radio, 508-767-1230, to sign up for time to pray the rosary until this either comes out of committee and gets stopped or goes to the desk and we can get it defeated. The other thing we ask everybody to do is to call Governor Baker's office. That number is 617-725-4005. I'll put all of this up on the website, 1230radio.com. Call your legislators. But everybody, please, please pray until this gets defeated in Massachusetts.
Amen. Cindy, thanks so much, and keep us up to date. We'll have you back on. Really appreciate it. And I know that you're working very closely with CJ at Massachusetts Citizens for Life. Give her our best, and we look for another update very soon.
God bless you.
You too. Thank you, Cindy from Emmanuel Radio. And what a great idea, praying the rosary as an R-O-E-S-A-R-Y to make a difference and to stop this horrible, horrible law from being enacted. Similar laws being enacted all over the country, by the way. And we need to stand up and pray. And as Padre Pio, Saint Padre Pio always said, the rosary is one of our greatest weapons. We'll be right back talking about saving the family with Father Leo. That's coming up, plus you, on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Here's our phone number if you'd like to chat with Father Leo, 877-573-7825. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Our mission is to transform the world one woman at a time through a spiritual program of formation that helps them to see who they are as daughters of the Most High God and to enjoy the gift that God has given to them by virtue of their femininity.
Women of Grace with Jeanette Bankovic-Williams. This morning, 11 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity.
A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
You know, this isn't exactly rocket science. Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun. And if you look at the secular research, and I quote this in many of my books, it supports, go figure, the natural law. And the studies show, and especially from groups like the Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse, that if you spend more time together as a family, then addiction rates go down among young people. Go figure. Why? Because that family bond around the dinner table without interference from the media. You put down the cell phones, you don't answer the phone, you turn off the TV, and you have real FaceTime. Not FaceTime on the iPhone or the iPad, but real FaceTime. How was your day? What's going on? You come together, and the CASA, the Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse, say if families do this just twice a week, that they believe they would help solve some of the abuse crises we see right now, which is, by the way, off the charts, especially in terms of drug abuse and suicide rates in families and young people. And someone who knows all about saving the family and getting back to basics. He's been speaking and teaching about it for years with his great books, and he's quite the chef and quite the Italian chef, even though he has a Filipino background. He studied in Rome, which is where he picked up a lot of knowledge on great Italian food, and of course has many great family recipes that he shares as well. The one, the only, Father Leo Pedlingog. Hey, my friend, just saw you 2 weeks ago at EWTN. Good morning.
I was surprised to see you there, but it was great to see you. And yes, while I might be Filipino, please remember that noodles originally came from Asia.
So okay, you are right. I will give you that. Marco Polo was over, am I correct, that he was over in Asia and he brought the noodle back to Italy, correct?
Uh-huh, that is very correct.
There you go. Okay, so see, I'll give you credit. I'll give a kid of credit for that. But we're the ones who really perfected the noodle in Italy.
Well, with sauce that came from tomatoes, which came from America. So, but what the Italians did.
All right, what about the olive oil? For crying out loud, give us some credit.
The Greeks and the olive oil. The Greeks and the olive oil, they are the ones who were known to have manufactured something like that very early on. But here's the thing. Let me just let you know. What the Italians did was they actually perfected the art of dining. And they took all of the ingredients and they injected their faith into it. Even prior to Christianity, Romans were always very, very religious people. But when Christ came, he showed what food really is. It is a gift of God. And that's why Jesus became food. And that's why in my new book, I write about how food can literally save the family.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. So the book is Saving the Family, The Transformative Power of Sharing Meals with the People You Love. And I love the point you make about Italy, because I tell folks when they go to Italy, don't expect to get the check. You have to ask for the check. Still, to this day, as many times as I've been to my motherland, you will be sitting there, even at a busy restaurant in Rome, but once you are seated, that is your place. And especially if you're there in the afternoon, the middle of the day, which is their main meal, as you well know, because you live there, pranzo, and you're sitting around and you're having your first course, then your second, and then you wrap it up with a light salad or some fruit and cheese, and you're there for hours, and you're gathering and chatting and going back and forth and having a great time and reconnecting with each other. What a concept!
Yeah, and it's not that it's lost, because I do believe that families are trying to eat together. I've been doing this whole thing, you know, to just try to get families to eat together. But here's one of the struggles. People don't know how to do that. That might sound silly, but how do you eat together and maintain the integrity of the power of the family meal when your kids are throwing mashed peas at you because you're trying to feed it to them? And then how do you do that when your children aren't old enough to feed you mashed peas? And all of the generations in between, you see, this book is chronicling how to actually manifest practically the mealtime throughout the generations of family life.
And so do you have recipes in here as well, Father, and suggestions, obviously, on how to do just that, what you just mentioned?
There are. So the recipes are in the back of the book, strategically placed there, in order for people to just read the book literally as a book. You know, one of the big struggles for me, and I'll be admitted, is people just think that all I do is cook. And, you know, it's like all about the recipe. Well, it's not. It's about teaching people a theology of food, which is what I wrote about in my previous book. But now people have to learn how to do the theology of food, which is this book, Saving the Family. And so what I'm doing in this book is literally giving a self-help for the family, no matter what kind of family background it is or the generations, if your kids are still children or if they're older, or even worse, if they're in their teenage years. How do you maintain a semblance of family life and love when your kids are rolling their eyes constantly and pulling out their phones during dinner?
Yeah. And also when everybody is so busy because they have different things that they're involved with and sports activities, how do you focus in and really making the meal a priority? 877-573-7825. More with Father Leo in his latest book, Saving the Family, The Transformative Power of Sharing Meals with People You Love. And you can find it in our religious catalog and also online at his website, FatherLeoFeeds.com, the book Saving the Family. We'll be right back.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
The church tells us children need mothers and fathers, and science is just beginning to reveal how true that is. New brain research in mammals reveals that involved fathers affect an infant's developing brain differently than mothers. For instance, while a mother's attentive presence and affection nourishes the centers of an infant's brain that allow them to bounce back from stress, an attentive and affectionate father's care stimulates the parts of the infant's brain that allow the child to better regulate their tendencies toward aggression. So it turns out moms and dads play critically important but very distinct roles in their children's ability to lead peaceful lives. Once again, the science is clear. The best prescription for well-adjusted kids is both a present and loving mother and father. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Having a great conversation with our friend. You know him well from his great work at EWTN, his many books and his talks around the country and around the world, and his institute that he's working with to really change the culture. Saving the Family, The Transformative Power of Sharing Meals with People You Love by Father Leo Paslikhagen. And Father, this is so key. It's so Eucharistic, everything, and everything goes back to Christ. I do think, and you and I were chatting during the break, that I told you that I often think of you when I see these different commercials promoting these prepackaged meals. They have like vegetables and a meat and seasoning, and they give you a recipe. And what they're encouraging for these various services that are providing these prepackaged dinners that can be cooked, they say, in 15, 20 minutes, they are encouraging family meals together because they show the folks around the stove or around the kitchen table eating the meal that they've cooked together. So I think that's a good thing, although you and I were both discussing that at the end of the day, in terms of if you really want to learn about food, then you have to do it on your own. But what do you think of that concept? Because we're seeing it more and more.
Yeah, so what happens is people are intrigued by the whole process of making a meal together because they see it as more than just something to feed the body, but really something to feed the soul. And so I like these things and realize, though, it is not the gospel and it's not the silver bullet. What families need to do is to make sure that it's not about the food, but about the people gathered around the table. And that's why the process, although helpful, needs to be integrated with also conversations, which is why, like, when I talk about it in the book, is I don't care what you necessarily eat.
there were times in my family, we were poor growing up. We had to make, you know, fast food decisions, get a bucket of chicken, or even, you know, use canned food. But it was always something that was done together. And so the priority wasn't the food, it was the people.
Don't you find it very fascinating, and going back to, you know, the beginning, as I said, I love that scripture in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. This is so basic, and yet we think it's so complicated, saving the family.
Well, let's admit it. While it is certainly not new, and everyone thinks that, you know, I should take credit for any of this. No, holy cow, that's not true at all. God is the one who made the food. What we've got to do is renew our understanding of food. In fact, keep the Catholic traditions and inject faith back into the food, because somehow the modern world has kicked faith out of just about everything, to the point where I'm in the city of New Orleans right now because we're planning for what is called the Olive Mass, something to really celebrate chefs and the food hospitality, anyone who loves food, like the way we would celebrate doctors for the White Mass. And this weekend, we realized that there's actually going to be an organization of chefs who are going to be supporting Planned Parenthood. And so what we're hoping to do is celebrate the Olive Mass in order to say food should not be used to kill life. It should be used to give life. That's the whole point of food.
Oh, my gosh. Chefs coming together to support Planned Parenthood.
Most of these are not New Orleans chefs. So a lot of the New Orleans chefs are not really participating. It's a lot of people from maybe outside of the area, but they want to come in and just basically take away faith from food. You know, again, real health care saves both lives, and true celebration of food begins when a mother is willing to feed a child in her womb. That is what food should do.
Wow.
Give life.
Now, have you, hopefully you'll have a press release that goes out and you'll let the media know that you're doing this, and they could contrast the two? That what a concept that would be on the news.
It would be. In contrast, it would be like me trying to pick a fight. So what I want to do is I want to invite.
No, invite them, right.
Support, exactly. To just bring them on board and to say, why can't we just simply do both? Care for the mother and the unborn child. Because, you see, God is the provider of all things. And if parents are worried about not being able to provide for their children, it's them taking matters in their own hands rather than trusting that God has provided for his people forever and ever. And so the idea of using food, again, as a way to make a political statement is frustrating.
Yeah, and it also revolves around fear. You can't do this. You don't have the means. So we have the answer, and that's death.
Sure, exactly. And people are, again, their choices are so limited because they don't realize that God is offering literally a smorgasbord for their faithfulness.
When did this idea about the importance, and I know the background, but to share with our listeners, because this is something that you've felt for a long time, and you first, as we mentioned at the beginning of the interview, felt that God put it on your heart when you were over in Rome studying there. Did you ever think it would get to the point where it would be such a major part of your ministry as a priest?
No, and I didn't honestly think that people would care. But, you know, like when the website is hitting, 2 million views in one night because they saw something on the Food Network,
right.
It really kind of placed a great responsibility on my soul, saying, look, if this is something that people are hungering for, then I've got to work to be a true shepherd and to feed the flock, and not just the flock that comes, but for the flock that doesn't even know what they're hungering for. And therefore, they're going constantly everywhere and anywhere to be fed. They're just literally going to the devil, because the devil wants to feed people too.
Mm-hmm. But in a very different way. We're chatting with Father Leo Padlinghung on his latest book, The Transformative Power of Sharing Meals with People You Love. Actually, Saving the Family, that's the subtitle, is The Transformative Power of Sharing Meals with the People You Love. I think the whole concept is fantastic. And I love to cook. I started to cook when I was very young and followed my grandmothers on both sides of the family, being, as you know, an FBI, a full-blooded Italian. And really, I loved it, to entertain and to cook. And it really is an expression of love. It really is.
It is. I mean, if you think about it, the greatest act of love begins in the mother's womb. I don't want to get pro-lifey on us or anything, but I have.
Why not? We're the Pro-Life Radio Network. No problem there. Go ahead.
Because food and pro-life literally go together. Again, the first act of love is when a mother was willing to say yes to a child and feed the child in her womb. That is the greatest and most important act of love, because it reminds families that basically, if I don't feed you, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And so that's why I work hard to kind of celebrate chefs and to honor them and to remind them that their work is valuable. It is a blessing. And we need, as St. Teresa of Avila said, find God amidst the pots and the pans.
I have an apron that says that in Spanish. And I have a sign in my kitchen. I love her. She's my gal.
Well, you're named after her, so you better love her.
So, okay, so before we let you go, we have about a minute left. Are there any pasta recipes in this book?
Sure, there are pasta recipes. In fact, I've been doing demos across the country and doing a version of shrimp scampi. But the reason why I talk about it is because I want to give families with adult children the opportunity to talk about alcohol. Because if you don't talk to your children about these things, then somebody else will, and they're not going to give you the full truth. And for me, wine, the making of it, is the same process of becoming a saint.
Yeah.
And that's the real power.
That's cool. There's so many great analogies with food and with wine. You know, I'm very involved in a ministry called Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, and that's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I just have to ask you, we have about 30 seconds left, what kind of pasta with the shrimp? I'm thinking linguine. Is that what you use?
Yeah, I use linguine as well, but you can also use, just as long as it's a long noodle, it's fine. But the thinner, the longer the noodle, the better. You don't want to use like a mozzarella or a...
Yeah, or a fettuccine, that's too wide.
Exactly, correct, exactly.
Oh, I could talk to you forever. I love the analogies, I love the imagery, I also love the recipes. Father Leo, you are a gift. Thanks for this latest book, Saving the Family, The Transformative Power of Sharing Meals with People You Love. Check it out. Father, thanks, and we will talk to you very, very soon. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the wisdom of God. And so we try to develop the mind of Christ, whether we're looking at the bioethics of gene editing, immigration in the United States, abortion at the Supreme Court, or movies in Hollywood. So join me as we look at the news of the world through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, this afternoon, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Isn't it amazing how many life decisions we make based on our feelings alone, like getting married? We are a culture that worships at the altar of feelings. We prefer feeling to thinking and deliberating. Feelings are emotional registers of pain and pleasure, full stop. This doesn't mean they're not important. They are. God gave them to us. But if they're the train engine instead of the caboose, we're going to go off the rails fast. Feelings alone can't carry any life decision to the finish line, and love is the most powerful life decision of all. Jesus Christ would never have gone to the cross if he lived his life only by his feelings. Sometimes, loving means acting in the face of overwhelming feelings to the contrary. And that's where true love exists. Love is measured by the degree to which you are willing to be put out for the other person. I'm Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We're having a beautiful Tuesday morning, June 18th, 2019. The phone number, 877-573-7825. I love, even though I can't draw, except stick figures, and that's even pushing it, as I was telling Jill during the break, artist, convert, and speaker Jill Metz, I just love the connection between art and faith, and how the Lord has gifted so many people with this gift of painting and expressing themselves through various forms and mediums of art. And what we can learn from it and how we can see God in all things, especially beautiful artwork. And Jill is going to be talking about this this weekend at the Scranton Catholic Diocese Women's Conference, and the website is simply CatholicWomen'sConferenceNEPA.com, CWCNEPA.com. So I'm thinking all of you listeners on JMJ Radio in Scranton, I hope you have your tickets, and if not, go to the website CWCNEPA.com. We're going to be really talking about all things Christ, especially because we're going to help you encounter him at the well. Jill, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you so much for having me.
Can't wait to give you a hug and meet you in person. So tell us about your journey and the artwork that you do, which was it a surprise to you in the way God's using you?
Absolutely, it was a surprise. I think it is for most of us, especially as a convert. The Lord kind of took hold of me and shook me around a little bit, and I landed up in the Catholic Church about 10 years ago. So this
Wow.
is my, this is my anniversary year. I like to think of it as my year of Jubilee.
There you go. There you go. We have to have a special door for you that we can open or something, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So what will you be sharing with the ladies this weekend?
You know, I'm really going to share a lot about the icon that came to be, which is St. Rose Venerini. I want to share a little bit of her story. I think her story is fabulous for the women of our day today. She is really a woman of simplicity, but of also she has a lot of knowledge, and she has a lot of commitment to young women and modesty and chastity. And I think that that's something that we're all wanting. You know, we all want that in our hearts. It's just how do we support one another in that. So I'm excited to share about St. Rose, but also I'll share some of my conversion story and how I came to paint saints to begin with, which is, you know, always fun to share the nuts and bolts of our sin and our triumph. So
yeah, just between you and me, as Connie Chung used to say, and just put it out there between a few hundred people, you know, and your few of your closest friends, right?
That's right. I tell my daughter, I always say, just go ugly early, you know, and that's just, you know, just disarm them right away, you know,
right.
and say, here it is. And, you know, there's so much beauty in that vulnerability. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, being seen and allowing the women to kind of enter into the St. Rose icon and experience, you know, her, really, just experience her love and faithfulness to the women.
Now, when I was talking with Mary Carroll, the organizer of the conference, she was telling me about you and your work as I was looking at the beautiful lineup, and I had not heard of St. Rose. How did you find out about her?
Well, St. Rose came to me through the women's conference. So I had them notify me, or they notified me over a year ago and asked me to do some artwork for their first conference. And I was, at that time, you know, St. Rose would, you know, even scold me. I was too busy to take on painting an icon for them. And Mary Carroll had prayed to the Blessed Mother that she would send a saint to the conference that wasn't too busy. So how she sent them to me, I really don't know, because I said no to painting the icon. But I did offer to do some digital design, and I got the design ready, and I sent it off, and I just felt this tug in my heart that this was not near what God wanted of me. So Mary Carroll contacted me, and we kind of talked. I shared a little bit of my story with Mary Carroll, and you've met Mary Carroll, or I know you've spoken
only spoken on the phone, but we meet her in person this weekend. I'm excited.
Yes, and I can't wait, because she is just a firecracker. She is so full of life and joy, and she immediately responded just to my story. We connected in that way, and I kind of said, I feel like I'm supposed to paint her for you, and she said, please. And so it was a process from there, but I'm sitting in front of the icon now. I'm just really excited to share the work with the women of Scranton.
Yeah, and icons are very different. And I have a friend who's an iconographer, and she actually was commissioned by another friend to do an icon of St. Teresa of Avila, mm-hmm. after whom I was named, mm-hmm. my favorite saint, which I have hanging in my living room. And so icons are really, God is painting it. You are praying how to paint the icon, and that comes through, I mean, there's a whole theology about icons, which is different than a painting.
It really is. It's amazing how God uses us. You know, like that dream in our heart that was put there by him, he takes that dream and he allows it to blossom. To be able to pray with the Lord with a paintbrush is an absolutely, you know, it's a dream come true. It's a dream I never knew that I had. Just to see the Holy Spirit reveal himself to me, it's taught me so much about trust. It's been very healing for me. But ultimately, it's taught me how deeply loved by God of the universe I am, that he would, you know, allow me to intimately create with him.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And I think art, especially, for example, you know, as an artist, if you look at an incredible piece of art, let's say something like the Pietà or the Last Supper or the David, and you think, how do you do that? And you know, you appreciate it. You know it's a gift, and you're using it.
Absolutely.
But my hope and prayer is that maybe there are women who are coming this weekend and who are kind of on the fence in their faith, and they're not really wondering, maybe they've been hurt, maybe there's an issue, maybe they're really struggling because of the crisis that we're facing and that we're trying to, you know, mm-hmm. kind of weed out, but that they mm-hmm. see the beauty of God through art.
Amen. And you know, I've been really praying for the women of this conference for over a year. You know, you pray for each and every one of them. And I think that when 1,000 women come together with open hearts, that there's going to be not only healing, I think there'll be miracles. I think people will have a miraculous experience at the conference if they open their heart, if they ask for God to heal them. Yeah. Obviously, we'll have confession there. That's a miracle in itself, Mass. But God has a lot more, you know, and he wants to give us a lot more. We're in a time where, you know, I think that we need that, and he's not afraid of our little wants, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what God has in store for the weekend and to connect with the women of Scranton. They're on fire with the Holy Spirit. So
Amen.
that's where I like to go.
Will you be having, will you have a table there with some of your beautiful, I was on your website. I mean, you have pillows and you have paintings and you have all kinds of beautiful items that have religious expressions painted. They're gorgeous. So you have some of those there on Saturday?
Yes. Yep, absolutely. The icons will be available for sale. The saint rose icon will be commissioned during the Mass. So I'm just kind of, to be honest, Teresa, I'm just kind of in awe of everything that's going to go down this weekend.
Well, and I think the whole theme, if we're humble enough and we realize it, meeting Jesus at the well, because that's it. That's the bottom line. And I was looking at your summary and your testimony, how stubborn you were and how the bottom line mm-hmm. is submission. And I'm going to talk about how submission is and surrender. Those two words as seen as bad words, foreign words in our culture today. We can't submit. Mm. We have to control everything. And mm-hmm. and you can't move forward in the mission that God has for you. And you will never, ever, ever be truly happy if you do not say, you are God, and I am not.
That's right. And the dying of self, that truly is, you know, it's the hardest thing. But when we can die to self and surrender our lives to God, the peace, I mean, you know, we all have issues. I have some family issues that go on inside my family.
Oh, we have to talk about that. We could do a whole conference on issues with family. Don't even get me started.
You know, I'm the only one that has these issues, right? But we all have these issues in our family. And, you know, I think to myself, how do families get through without the peace of God in their life?
Yeah.
You know, without that total trust. And it's definitely a journey, but it's the beautiful, beautiful daily conversion that really leads us to that surrender.
I can't wait to hear the details of your conversion story. That's why I just wanted to give it a tease this morning so more ladies will come on Saturday, and we're continuing to, numbers keep going up. I think when I spoke with Mary Carroll yesterday, she told me they're pushing 700 already, and most of the responses tend to come in the last few days. So I just want to remind folks
Absolutely. That
if you'd like to hear Jill's fabulous testimony and see her amazing work and how God is using her to speak to beauty and truth in who he is, check out the website, cwcnepa.com. And don't forget, we have a terrific, terrific, terrific EWTN affiliate, JMJ Radio, in that area of northeastern Pennsylvania. The phone number to call for more information is 570-872-8630. 570-872-8630. Jill, what a joy. And we'll have to have you back on to talk more about your conversion story, but after the conference, because I want more people to go and hear you in person. Okay?
Mary Carroll told me I can't speak too much. So I'm saving all the goodies for the conference. But again, I'm praying for all the women
yep.
of Scranton. And I just, I really am honored to share my story. And I invite all the stubborn women of Scranton to come and hear how the Lord can just wreck you with his love.
Yep. And then it's the best thing that will ever happen to you. The best.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, sister. And congratulations on all your beautiful work. And I can't wait to see it in person and maybe even buy something for my office or my home. I love religious art. We're speaking with artist and speaker and convert Jill Metz. And again, she is one of the keynotes this weekend at the Scranton Diocesan Women's Conference, Catholic Women's Conference of Northeastern Pennsylvania. Even though it's taking place at the University of Scranton in the Diocese of Scranton, anyone is welcome. Any sister in the Lord, come and hear what Jesus has to say to you when you meet him at the well, which is the theme. The phone number again, 570-872-8630. Thanks, Jill. We'll see you soon, God willing.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Thank you, Bill, very much, first of all, for this ministry. You have no idea what a blessing you and EWTN have been in my life and for my life, and I just thank you for that.
Well, first off, I'd like to say God bless you for your ministry, and my wife prayed daily for EWTN. It's a game changer in our world.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Join me, Teresa Tamio, and Father John Ricardo for fun fellowship in beautiful weather during our Good News Marriage Cruise. Former NFL star Matt Burke will also be there sailing the Caribbean as we explore how to rejuvenate your marriage in Christ. We're sailing January 26th to February 1st, so call 855-879-6932. That's 855-879-6932. Or visit AveMariaRadio.net for early registration discounts.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Wrapping up a busy Tuesday morning. I think we got our wires crossed with Gail. She was supposed to join us for our scripture verse of the week, but we'll get to her at some point because the Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth, and it's always there for us to pick up every day, good Lord willing. Don't forget to stay tuned to all of our great programs on EWTN. And again, I really want to stress this whole idea of when we're hearing things in the news. Cindy brought us, I think, really down to earth and how important it is to listen to Catholic radio so you get the full story of what's happening and to make sure that you how do I want to say this? Buffer yourself up, encourage yourself, be with other people. You know, Father Leo was talking about coming together as a family, and lots of folks think that they're alone in a situation when they're not. So many people share what we believe, and yet we feel isolated because of what's out there in the culture. Take advantage of all the resources that we give you here at EWTN and Ave Maria. I mean, over and over again, we have great people like Father Leo or Jill, who's going to be speaking this weekend, that have a love for the faith and the truth and the beauty. Continue to surrender yourself to God and ask Him what He wants to show you through all the stories that we report, and even through the coverage of the stuff that really just gives us, you know, so much heartache, or agita, as we say in Italian, right? To this heartache or this upset feeling. Never let it cause you to lose your peace, because in the end, the church is still the church, and Jesus is still on His throne, and we need to keep our eyes on Christ while at the same time addressing these very important issues in our church, as we try to do here every day, and as we did yesterday when we dropped the guests and brought on Ed Condon for the rest of the program to address your issues. We are working with you to raise up the body of Christ. EWTN.com, AveMariaRadio.net. We have Catholic News Agency. We have EWTN News Nightly. We have The Register. We have Church Pop. I mean, my goodness, we have so many great outlets for you to really embrace the faith. And I'm not saying this just to fill time. I'm saying this because a lot of you write me and respond to what's out there in the culture. I know that we can't keep our heads in the sand, but at the same time, we have to discern everything, as Al always says, through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. And that's such a great saying, because that's the way we are called to live our lives. That everything, whether we admit it, goes back to God and the natural law. Even what Father Leo and I were talking about, especially what Father Leo and I were talking about, the family, breaking bread, where does that come from? The bread of life. And these images that we see in these commercials, people are longing for that relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with each other. And nothing satisfies except Christ. As St. Augustine said, my heart does not rest until it rests in thee, O Lord. And my favorite verse, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Keep that in mind. Have a great Tuesday. Talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.